Hey guys, so glad you're back. And as you know, usually the second Wednesday of the month is when I get to interview Miss T and get her awesome school psych wisdom. But like a lot of us, she is sick and she is not feeling well. So she will not be here this month. But we are looking forward to having Miss T back next month. So, this month, like I mentioned last week, is Trauma-Informed Care Month. I just really feel like we need to kind of focus in a little bit on becoming more trauma aware, more trauma informed. What practices can we use that are trauma informed and really just being more trauma sensitive to some of your students who have been through trauma and who may still be going through trauma? And so this just grows our empathy, compassion, and kindness and all of these social skills that grow us to be even better humans and better examples for the rest of your students who are not going through these things. So, to become trauma-informed, you really have to know what is trauma, and then for your student, what are some of the signs that you can look for? Or you can recognize in your students that you may think twice about the behavior, that there may be more to it, that there may be more reasons why your student may be acting this way. So that's what we're going to be discussing. Welcome to Behavior Strategies for Class. I am Diane Bachman, your behavior paraprofessional with over 15 years of experience working in special education, and I'm so glad you're here because I'll be teaching you about social emotional learning, behavior strategies, trauma-informed care, and more. So if you are tired of being frustrated and not knowing what to do with your students who have challenging and disruptive behavior, you're in the right place. Now, if you're ready to become more equipped to help your students learn and grow, let's listen in to today's episode discussing today. So, before we get started, I want to make an announcement that I am going to be doing a Transform Your Student Behavior workshop. It's going to be in the evenings of March 12th, 13th, and 14th. And because I was thinking, like, what do behavior strategies, what are they for? Like, what are we trying to do for our students? And we're really trying to transform their behavior so that they can be engaged and ready to learn in your classroom. And that's obviously where we want your students to be, ready to learn, ready to be engaged. Trying their best, but because some of your students struggle with their behavior, they can't access their academics. And so, what are we trying to do with the behavior strategies? We're trying to transform their behaviors. So, that is how I kind of came up with the workshop. And so, in the workshop, we'll be talking about laying that foundation, employing core behavior strategies, strengthening your trauma-informed care, and fostering strong student connection. Because overall, putting all of those things together and fostering those strong student connections, that's truly going to help transform their behavior. So there is a bit.ly link in the show notes, so I encourage you to check it out and sign up today. So I think of a couple of our students who have, well, one is still going through some trauma, Another one I don't know because he ended up switching schools. But the one, well, they both struggled with regulating their emotions. They had emotional outbursts a lot. They were anxious a lot. And these are some of the things we're going to talk about too, as signs what to look for in your student, or how you can recognize maybe this student is going through something more. But like our one student, he was younger, and we didn't find out until later that mom and I can't remember now if it was dad, boyfriend, but they had gotten into like a physical fight, and not just once, but more than once, unfortunately. And of course, it affected the student. Like, he could not focus on work. He would have emotional outbursts where he'd be screaming, crying, banging his head, refusing. He would just shut down. Once we could finally get to a place where he was calm and we could have a conversation, he would share with us why he was so upset, and because he feared for his mom being home with, I think it was the boyfriend, and he not knowing like what was happening to his mom. So thankfully, I believe it was our counselor that was able to connect and call the mom and just say, hey, you know, he is really concerned about you. Can he talk to you on the phone? And that's really all it took, was for him to actually hear his mom's voice, know that she was okay. And I mean, not that he like, you know, ran back to class and was like, yes, I'm ready to go. But he was definitely in a better place to listen and do some work, you know, to at least get back and be with his class. And sometimes it is, I mean, honestly, that's kind of a small fix. You know, if a student can just talk to a parent or a guardian to help calm them down or to reassure them that they're safe, so that that student can get back to work. I mean, it really was beneficial to him, because he really did, like, his whole demeanor changed when he was able to speak to his mom and then get back to class. But that was an ongoing situation that we dealt with a lot, because sometimes we weren't able to get a hold of mom, and he would be in the counselor's office crying for like, I mean, it would feel like hours and hours, but it wasn't necessarily that long. But at least, I mean, even an hour is a long time for a student to just be sitting and crying and crying. Then we had another student who was in the foster system. And he had, oh man, just trauma all the time. Lots of things going on in his household where he was, with the other kids that were there, with the foster mom that was there. I mean, he was just he was constantly on alert. Like, he had such a hard time letting his guard down. And he would be constantly wanting to chew on things, not necessarily constantly wanting to eat, but knowing that he had food with him, like he wanted always to know. Or if we had his snack in our room, like, we would have to put it away, up away from the other students. And so we always showed him, like, it's right here. Nobody's taking it, but we need to put it up and out of the way. So many things. He definitely struggled with focus. staying in the classroom because he was definitely on flight all the time. Like I said, he was always on alert, always looking for safety, always looking for his way out. And it was hard because he didn't have really another safe adult outside of school. So thankfully, he was able to connect with our school psych, Miss T, a lot. He was able to talk to our team, the behavior team, our AP and our principal. And, you know, we just learned how just to be there for him, just to listen. And we would help him, of course, you know, reminding him of behaviors. And, you know, obviously it's not safe for you to try and run out of the building, to try and run out of, you know, our off-school property. And so we would just remind him, like, you know, he'd always tell us to go away, you know, but we'd be like, we can't, you know, our job is to make sure that you're safe. And there'd be other times, like, he wouldn't talk. You know, he would just kind of shut down. Other times he would just want to sleep. You know, so many different signs he had of a student who was going through trauma. And he actually ended up switching out of that foster home and went to another home. And yes, I think that was better. But then again, you know, it's another change for him. It's another situation. It's another set of rules. It's, you know, all those other things. And so, you know, I'm not saying all of this information to say, like, you need to jump in and you're going to fix these students and, you know, just give them a hug and send them on their way. Because, well, I like to give hugs, but just so that you are aware and that you can help get the resources in the school setting to help the student as much as possible. That's what we can do. When your students are in the school, that's what we can control and what we can help and help them get to where they can be the best student at that time. And so I want to go over some signs that you may have seen or may see sometime, and then you could put a plan in place, hopefully to help support that student as much as possible while they're in the school setting. So number one is where they can't regulate their emotions. Like, they have those outbursts. And I know you have some students that they do have outbursts, you know, and basically I would say they're really just throwing a fit. And when you have a student who's had trauma and they have an outburst, it's different. And it's where, like, they're inconsolable, you know. They are, like, I talked about this previous student, like, he just cried and screamed and cried and screamed, like, for an hour, sometimes more, sometimes a little less. But, you know, if you have another student and they throw a fit, like, it's a few minutes. They don't carry on for hours or an hour. They throw their fit. They, you know, yell, scream, whatever, and then they're moving on to the next thing. That's one of the differences as far as outbursts. Regulating the emotions, or like our other student who, you know, one minute he's fine, he's in class, the next he's on the run, he shuts down or he's cussing you out, or, you know, it's one extreme or the other, and it just, they can't regulate it. Like, they just have so much going on. There's just overwhelming for them. And so, again, that just comes out in their behaviors. Number two, another sign of a traumatized student is hoarding food, stealing food. We have had that quite a bit. And, you know, or they'll, you know, we ask if they want a snack and they'll ask for like two or three, and then they'll go put like two or three in their backpack and just eat the one. Or, you know, they're stealing snacks out of the snack bucket, or they're stealing it out of other kids' backpacks. Sometimes they're ashamed. They don't want to tell you that they're hungry. They didn't have breakfast, or they didn't eat dinner the night before. And then they come in late, so they miss breakfast. You know, sometimes those are easy fixes if they just say, you know what, I'm just hungry. And usually our school counselor or our behavior team, we always have snacks in our classrooms. And so we are always able to help anybody really who needs a snack. But hoarding food, like they don't want to give it up. Like, they'll almost like fight you for it if you try and take away their food. I mean, that's kind of an extreme. So the third sign would be being anxious and fearful. Like I said, the other student, like he was so upset and fearful for his mom. Like he just could not calm down. He just could not get control. And so, or like the other student who was always on alert, you know, he's always checking out. He's very anxious. He's not sure where everybody is. He's not sure, you know, can I get to the door fast enough? Very anxious about his surroundings, about the people around him, all kinds of things. Those are signs. Like they don't feel safe. They can't feel safe. You know, even if we tell them all the time, like, buddy, you are safe here. And even one of the school counselors that I worked with, you know, we would be in there with her with some of the students, and she would always ask, who's a safe adult at the school that you know? And thankfully, they could at least name two people, two adults. If your student is not safe, they will never be able to access their academics. And that's a hardwired research. Dr. Bruce Perry. Fact. So number four would be self-care. You will begin to notice sometimes they are coming to school dirty. Clothes are dirty. Fingernails dirty. Hair's dirty. Backpacks dirty. Jackets. We used to wash kids' jackets at one of the schools because it was that bad. Now, granted, all of that isn't necessarily on the student. That's because of their home life and whatever adult in that household was not doing their job. Or they're preteens and they're refusing to shower or other, we've had some friends that were in the same clothes for 3 days. This is fine. I don't care. And the self-care could also be self-harm. We've had kids try cutting. There isn't a ton of that so far, at least in the elementary schools that I've been in. I'm sure you guys see more of it in the middle school and the high school, the self-harm. All of this is to keep you informed so that you can provide the care that your student needs in order that they can be successful in your class. Also, on a side note, I want to share that I got some of this information from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Service Administration website and also psychcentral.com. So if you want to look up more information, you can check out those websites. I also want to say, review these signs. They can't regulate their emotions. They are hoarding food, stealing food. They're anxious, fearful, and they lack self-care, or they could be self-harming. And I would just say, you know, not necessarily jump to conclusions that something major is happening, but to know and maybe let your mental health team know they're showing some of these behaviors. What do you think? Or can you talk to them a little bit more? You know, just to give a heads up so that that student, again, can get the care that they need while they're at school. Because that's the only thing that we can control as well. Like, obviously, we can't control what's going on at home. So, today, again, was signs of a traumatized student. And I hope these were helpful for you. And I just want to remind you again that the Transform Your Student's Behavior Workshop will be March 12th through the 14th. And you can find that bit.ly link in the show notes to sign up so that you can help transform your student's behavior. And even students who have been through trauma, like, you can help transform their behavior as well so that they learn the strategies so that they can get their behavior under control to be good learners, engaging in your classroom. So, thank you so much. Sign up for the workshop. Bit.ly link in the show notes. And thanks so much for all the... Thanks so much for listening. I truly appreciate your support. And if I have encouraged you, motivated you to continue to learn, to support your students, even better, to help them strive in your classroom, please leave a review, hit that subscribe button so that others can see they can learn and grow here as well. Thank you. What you do for your students each and every day. We'll see you next week.